Welcome to Vinyl Verdict. I'm Bell.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Ploof.
And I'm Arthur.
Yes, that's right. We have our guest, Arthur, of LTT social media fame, of TikTok fame, Bear Creek Eats, of YouTube fame, RD Time. Genuinely good content. And for some reason, he's here on our bad content.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Fame is it's a little bit of an exaggeration.
Fame is like a drug.
I'm just saying, if you go to HelloFresh and use code BearCreek50.
That's not even it.
Is it Bear Creek 55?
It's Hello Bear.
Hello Bear 55.
Wow. No, it's not Hello Bear 50. It's just Hello Bear.
Hello Bear. You get 50% off.
No, it's 55% off.
Your first
it's,
box.
Yeah. It's 50. Wait, did you get 55?
I got 55.
Why are we talking about HelloFresh promo code?
50.
They didn't pay for this.
No, but they could.
No, they could. Please. Please sponsor us. We do this for free.
Well, we're here because Arthur, Artie, what is your preference?
Call me whatever you want.
Anything Sam. But late for dinner, am I right? Arthur has brought over a record for us to listen to. What did you bring?
I brought... I'm really excited to show you guys this one. This is Yeet...
Yeet is the artist.
Yeah, sorry. Yeet's the artist. But this is Life. So
is it pronounced Life? There's an accent.
There's a bunch of umlauts.
He puts those on like everything.
Yes. All the E's have umlauts.
Yeah.
So this is Life. It's an album that was... Or I guess it's an EP.
It's EP, yeah, but it's long album length EP.
It's not really an EP.
Yeah, it is pretty much.
It's more of a mixtape.
Yeah,
let's
sure.
be real. But it's a mixtape that was released in 2022.
Yes,
at the beginning of 2022, right after a huge run that Yeet had, gaining popularity, turning his cult fan base into more of a mainstream type of fan base, and I feel like this project really solidified it. It has three of his biggest songs.
Yes.
On there. And yeah, I think it's just really exciting because in my opinion, what Yeet's doing right now and this album, I guess, is kind of a culmination of what's been happening or how hip hop has evolved over the 2010s. And I feel like this is kind of where we're at now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right off the bat, there's probably gonna be a lot of talk about drugs as that's a thing he raps about a lot. So if you're sensitive to that, I guess tune out now.
I also made a tally of the number of times he mentions the Lamborghini Urus.
So many times.
The Tonka.
So the Tonka.
Yes.
Yeet is a great name to start. I want to say Yeet is it's powerful. I like that it's like Yeet to throw plus heat. Like it's spelled Y-E-A-T.
Yes.
I like that a lot. I've never listened to Rage though. So this was exciting to listen to this
new
rap genre.
I'm trying to figure
out
what the rage part was. It just sounded like normal hip-hop.
Yeah, it's like supposed to be a little angry. I think it's more well-known for like the really short loops that are used.
Oh, okay.
And usually kind of more aggro beats. But
short loops, aggro beats, a lot of repetition, high energy. We had artists in the 2010s like Playboi Carti kind of really bring rage into the forefront of hip-hop. Lil Uzi Vert, Trippie Red. And now we have a lot of artists like Yeet, for example, but also some of Playboi Carti's proteges like Ken Carson, Destroy Lonely, that are really starting to gain a lot more popularity.
Yeah, we've listened to Trippie Red here from the Joji album. He featured. It was the worst song on the album.
So we have, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, but yeah, it's... I feel like an old head listening to this. I was like, I'm out of touch now. That's crazy.
Yes, Arthur, as the most aged human being in this building right now...
Jamie,
I was a little out of my element. What were you saying?
So you're about the oldest by 10 years.
I'm not the oldest
He's
by 10
years.
He's
not the oldest by 10 years. He's only like two years older than he is.
Yeah, you're also older by
And then 10 you're years. Older than... I'm younger than... Or no, sorry, you're younger than me by what, like 4 years, 5 years?
No, it's like double eight? Digits for sure.
It's not double digits.
Yeah, this song or this album or EP doesn't have Rich Minions, which is the only Yeet song I'd ever heard of before.
This,
I was really excited.
This is the project that was released right after that, though. So
interesting.
Yes, he had a song about or in the Minion movie, which is crazy.
Really?
Oh,
yeah. Called Rich Minions.
That's an interesting collaboration because he is not family friendly.
Not at all.
The only other thing I know about Yeet, other than that, is that he doesn't like the cereal Vector. He says it
really?
In one of the songs, and I love Vector.
Yeah,
so
I like
him and I are beefing.
I like Vector too. I think it's fine.
That's
what about the superhero Vector?
He likes Frosted Flakes. Only reason, again, I know that is he's in a Channel 5 video about the Chicago Rap Festival. And he's a very interesting man. He says, don't do drugs. And he says, popcorn lung is fake. So you should be able to vape in school.
Mm.
So do drugs.
Yeah, pretty much. Spoiler alert, popcorn lung is real.
Yeah.
Do not vape.
Yeah. Isn't it only real on like older vapes, though? Like, I thought that was kind of fixed.
Popcorn lung is named after like the people who got... sick from the fake popcorn butter.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's,
but
it's yeah. I don't know if it's a similar chemical, but it's also the like the weird chemicals
it's part
that
of the juice.
In the vape. Yeah, yeah. In the vape juice.
Well, Jamie, what do you think of the album?
I give it 2 vape juice out of 5. I didn't hate it. I thought it was interesting, but I will note that it is not designed to be listened to as an album. Mm-hmm. It's a collection of singles, and several of them were designed to go viral. But it's not like if you listen to the songs back to back, you'll notice that he raps about the same thing
a lot
in
a lot.
Many songs.
Yeah, especially with like the producer call outs and stuff like that. Like that's kind of what makes it an EP.
I hate the Benny X.
Benny X producer tag.
We the best music.
That might be the best producer tag in hip hop right
now. Other than Jason Derulo.
No.
Yeah, Benny X, what was it? I Feel Like Dying or I Think I'm Dying was another one that comes up pretty often. And there's a Mingo one. It's like Mingo. I was like, wow, there's a lot of different tags.
Yeah. So, I mean, totally fair. Like not being able to listen to this as an album, I don't think it was designed as is.
No,
that's why it's an EP.
Yeah. It's interesting the disparity between the three most popular singles, which have over 200 and maybe 250 million plays on Spotify alone, and the rest of the tracks on the album, which have they've cracked the millions, but they're only in the tens of millions. Not in the hundreds of millions. And it's interesting. The ones that were successful because of TikTok. Like they went viral on TikTok.
Right? For sure. So, I think Yeet can attribute a lot of his success due to TikTok. And
sure.
To me, he's one of the, like when you talk about hip hop and rap, he might be the artist that has used TikTok to his best ability.
Yeah.
I remember for me, when I first heard Yeet, it was on a TikTok sound. There was this trend like all the way back in 2021. I say that like that's a long time ago.
Two, but,
mm-hmm. But back in 2021, there was like Drake be like or whatever meme. And there was a song called Money Twerk from his. Which project was it? There was a money or. There's a song called Money Twerk from 4L. That's the album. I thought it was a joke at first. I was like, what the hell is this music? But I tried to not be dismissive about it. Listened to it a little bit more. And then after that, he came out with this album called Up to Me, which I think personally is his best album so far.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not on vinyl, so that's why I didn't bring it here. But I think this is still pretty good replacement for that.
Sure.
It's funny that you mentioned that you thought it was a joke at first, because while listening to this, part of it, at least some songs, definitely sounded to me like what a parody of hip-hop would have been like 10 years ago, right?
Interesting. Like, that is an interesting thought.
With all the like skirt and like weird call-outs and backup vocals and just like trap beats and I don't know, like it, that to me was the humor like 10 plus years ago. This is what it's going to be, and that's what it's turned into.
I mean, I think that's a totally fair observation. To me, I feel like what Yeet has been doing and what he's done on this project, he's kind of pushing the boundaries of what has developed in hip hop over the 2010s. Kind of the foundation that artists like Future, Young Thug, Kanye West, Kid Cudi have kind of set out, using your voice kind of like almost like an instrument.
Certainly,
You know, playing with weird tones, playing with weird melodies, just with your voice.
These weird ad-libs. Rhythms.
Yeah, exactly. The ad-libs that just stand out that are just so, they're abrasive sometimes, right? And sometimes they overwhelm you. But I think Yeet's been doing a pretty good job of putting that all together into a package. And it clearly is resonating with a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
I think a fun fact is Yeet, when you're talking about like a cult fan base, he's been able to develop that, which is really, really cool. I think with what Yeet, I'm getting on a tangent here.
No, go ahead. This is a tangential podcast.
You should listen to Jamie ever tell any story.
Oh, God.
This reminds me of
when I was in Ontario in a random bar and a song came on the radio and a man said, "How the hell are you?" It really stood out to me ever since. Like, okay.
But like I was saying, I think when we talk about cult fan bases, Yeet's the first one in a while that has kind of popped up that truly feels like a cult fan base. I heard somewhere, and I don't know the source of this, but when you talk about the like Yeet in terms of volume of listeners, in terms of total, like let's say monthly listeners, he doesn't have the highest number. But when we're looking at how many times listeners listen to somebody's music, they listen to Yeet's on one of the most like high replay values versus other artists.
And it's interesting that you bring that perspective, because you're watching the memes work every day. You're understanding the analytics behind that, and you just use that to describe music, which is interesting. Belle, what did you think? You're old, I know.
Yeah, pretty much. There was part of me that enjoyed parts of it. Like, I liked a lot of the backing tracks and the production. It being an EP made it weird because the production value changed a lot. Like, there were songs where I was like, wow, the production value is really high. Yeah. And there were songs where I was like, wow, the production value is not very high. And, of course, there are topics and themes that come back a lot.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I've heard Urus in, like, every song. And every single, wow, he tripled it again. I know you tripled it again. My stack of money's bigger. Yeah, and there are topics that I'm like, I kind of wish he didn't glamorize. Where I was like, wow, he's talking about how like people are dying around him from ODs or being shot. And he goes, but I'm rich. I'm like, no, say that that's bad. Or he's like, yeah, I'm really messed up from taking too many drugs. Anyways, I'm rich. I'm like, all right, sure. So it's just like something I guess I wasn't really used to. I listen to a lot more, I don't want to say conscious rap, because it's not that far, but there's kind of like this new era of being like, we should pull each other out of these hardships instead of being like, heck yeah, I'm in the hardship and I'm rich and you're still in the hardship. So I wasn't quite used to it, but I do think there are things in here that are quite enjoyable. It's just wrapped up in a package that I think overall, like the entire thing put together, was less than enjoyable for me.
It's not a cohesive package, but it is a package.
Yes, yeah. It certainly is a package.
Yeah. I will say that's kind of been happening for like almost as long as hip hop's been a thing, though.
The
like,
two sides kind the of the two sides,
yeah. Like there's a lot of conscious rap from like the 80s and the 90s, and then there's on the same flip side, you've got Wu-Tang Clan, who's like very gangster. They've got some stuff that's a bit more, I don't know, conscious, but.
Like Gravel Pit?
Sure. But, like, it's always been a thing. Like, I remember in the early 2000s, like, gangster rap was making a big comeback, like, into club and all that stuff, and I hated it. I wasn't a big fan because I wanted stuff like Tupac or...
Tupac is very gangster.
Well, sure, but he was also saying a lot about, like, impoverished people and...
Yeah, lifting people up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So... It's always been kind of a weird mix, and it is interesting to... Well,
there's two sides of Tupac. There's Tupac before prison and Tupac after prison.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. He didn't want to go back, so he's like, I don't like crime anymore. Don't do crime. crime is bad. Yeah. Pluv, do you have any other thoughts about the album?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to keep an open mind. I didn't really like it, Arthur. I liked a bunch of the trap beats. Mm-hmm. I like trap, so that was fine. But I had basically the same problems in that, like, yeah... It's an EP, and maybe that helps it, but I heard Urus, like, how many times?
Oh, you kept to tell.
And Bentley. He's like, I got a Benz. I got a Bentley.
Yeah. Tonka. I wasn't sure if it was just Yeet Cayenne. Or if it's, like, Rage in general. And so I actually, like, I let Spotify play out for quite a while after the album finished. And so I listened to a few other songs from artists like Can Can, Baby Keem, D Savage. And I just don't think it's for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I...
No, this is Spotify's idea of what would continue after listening to a Yeet album.
Can makes sense for sure. Baby Keem, I won't really Rage, but still modern rap.
Yeah. And I do like a lot of... It's funny because when I was talking about this with Colin or someone, and I was like, yeah, it hit me how old I'm getting because I was like, oh, I like modern hip-hop. And then I realized when I think of modern hip-hop, I think of like Damn. But that came out like 2017. Yeah,
Kendrick Lamar's Damn.
Right? Or like I think about like even like Denzel Curry, but even he's like 2016, 2018, something like that. Taboo when that came out. So like
I recently just bought a Riff Raff album and then I realized that album came out almost 10 years ago.
It must have.
Like, yeah. I like a lot of newer albums from hip-hop artists, but most of the ones I'm listening to are from artists that I've been listening to for, like, 10-plus years. And so, yeah, it's a new album, but it's not necessarily, like, from a 20-year-old or however old Yeet might be.
Yeah, it's a new album from a guy who's 40.
Yeah. Yeah. Or 30 or something at the very least. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's totally fair. I think hip-hop, it's... You can't classify hip-hop as one type of music 100% nowadays, right?
Yeah.
Now there's so many subgenres, and like I was talking about, you know, different artists popping up and kind of pushing the genres in different ways. Again, Future and Young Thug leaning into those melodies, and you know, they talk a lot about the same subject that Yeet is talking about right now. You know, you have artists like Denzel Curry, who's not that old, right? That still stick with, you know, being lyrical and still stick with kind of that like more boom bap type of vibe, right? I think that's the exciting thing about where hip hop is right now. You know, there are different artists or different projects for different moods. You know, you don't list, obviously you don't go and turn on a Yeet album to feel something unless that feeling is, you know, disassociating with the world.
Because
right?
I messed up on Lee.
Exactly. I did turning drink up. A bottle of cold medicine before listening. I wanted to get the experience.
Ah, yes.
I don't know. I thought I wasn't like as, upset with it as I thought I might be after like the first track or two, but definitely by the end of it I was like, okay, I've heard you say the same things over and over again, and like it's a similar kind of trap beat like every time, and it's a minor thing. We always complain about like ending on fade outs, and like every single song ends on a fade out. And then the only other thing that's hard for me to get over is I've said multiple times on the podcast I don't like auto-tune. And it's a big part of like modern hip hop, and not just hip hop, like R&B and stuff in general. I can't stand autotune, and he leans right into it. So it's a little jarring for me. But yeah, I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would.
Right.
Yeah.
I think there's a part of me that, you know, I knew somebody would bring up autotune in this discussion. There's a part of me that really wanted to bring Travis Scott's Rodeo.
Sure.
On here, which I think is a much more tasteful use of autotune. Yeet's obviously is a little bit more abrasive.
Yeah.
Well, you just hit the button and turn it all the way up.
And then just go. And I don't think this project is necessarily known for its best mixing or mastering either.
Sure.
Although we did give it an early listen, and then we'll give it another one last listen, and it sounds okay, actually.
Yeah, the pressing was fine.
The pressing sounds pretty
and
good.
The album looked really cool.
Yeah, we'll talk about that afterward, but...
Well, hey, why don't we just give it one last listen right now?
We will. Had a time on flow, yeah. Had a chain of clothes. Had to turn my diamonds, yeah. They smacking head of toe. Yeah, at the birth, at the yoke. I can't stop. Pop this side, I can't build it up, and then I flow. On the phone, my team went build it up, and then we talk. Flawless, flawless, flawless. Flawless, yeah. You know what? It's pretty catchy. I like it. Flawless is a cool word.
It is a cool word. I like the beat. I thought the lyrics were kind of whatever. I'm not crazy about his flow. I thought the intro was cool. It's from a pretty funny video, if you've never seen it. 65 money chains on my neck. Yeah, I didn't like the fade out, but whatever.
Yeah, my favorite one of those was money on my phone. That mean I talk to money. It's such a funny little skit. And it's like the entire skit at the front.
If you've not seen this video, you got to go watch it. The guy's like dripped out in just stuff made of money or money all over whatever. Like,
talking about memes and TikTok, I mean, he just leaned right into it.
I read a little bit about this song, and they thought that they were going to get sued by the dude who made the video.
Oh, really?
And it turned out that the guy was like thrilled that he included them in the album. And like it was like totally cool for them. I thought that was funny. My favorite line from the song is "money swollen like a cyst."
Yeah,
that's a line.
That one really stood out to
that's
me.
That's a line.
Money big.
Okay, so Tonka's.
Yes,
it's not the truck.
No, he's talking about having a large SUV.
Dang, yes. I was actually excited. I was like, "Yo, Tonka's." I haven't thought about Tonka's in a while.
Yeah.
No, not.
I thought
Tonka
he was
truck.
Referring to like, you know, I was driving a Tonka when I was a kid, and then the first car I bought was a Urus. That was my interpretation of the Tonka reference, but
no, it comes up so often,
right?
Tonka. Yeah,
I feel like it's a little interchangeable. There's a very famous chain that Yeet had gotten, and it's literally a dump truck that opens and closes.
Yo, I mean, that's a cool chain.
That's a Tonka right there.
That's a cool chain.
That's pretty cool. It's cool that Lil Uzi Vert features, because like I'd heard of him before, and I didn't know how big Yeet was as somebody who's on TikTok and had never listened before.
He didn't blow up on TikTok, but.
Yeet didn't?
Oh, sorry, Uzi.
Uzi, yeah, Uzi didn't. But Yeet did, and I was like, oh, wow. To get a feature of like a more well-known artist, that's really cool. The speed at which they're rapping is pretty impressive. It was hard to fully appreciate the lyrics because it was hard to understand at some point. But there's still some funny lines. I like the, when life gives you lemons, then crush that. It's simply a good one because Simply is a lemonade brand.
Yes.
I was like, that's clever.
That was.
I like, it's a little bit more tasteful than the cyst one. I didn't like that line.
No, the line stood out. I like that one.
Too visual. Do you have any thoughts, Artie?
I think this might be the best song on the entire album.
Wow. Start EP. Off with a showstopper.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they put it first for a reason. It's the only song that has a feature on the album.
Yeah.
Lil Uzi Vert is obviously an incredibly influential artist in hip hop, especially modern hip hop. Wouldn't be surprised if he was a huge influence for Yeet. But yeah, it brings the energy. I've seen a lot of videos of this specific song being performed live, and the visceral reaction that the crowd gives, it's incredible. Like, I talked a little bit about, these cult fan bases. We saw a lot of those pop up around the mid-2010s. You know, you had artists like Lil Uzi Vert. You had artists like XXXTentacion. Artists like 21 Savage, Kodak Black, Lil Yachty. All these guys had these really cult fan bases who, when they listened to a song, they would go crazy. They would, line up to the club way outside, make these venues shut down because of how insane these shows were. And you didn't have that for a couple of years. I feel like once X died, once like Juice WRLD died, and again, these were some really, big people in the 2010s. There was kind of like a lull. Obviously, the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. But you had a lot of what I'd call more industry manufactured artists.
Sure.
Which, they get a lot of their push because they have a lot of money backing them.
Yeah.
They get really nice placements, but they don't have, that fan base that really listens to it. And I feel like Flawless encapsulates what Yeet's been able to bring back. And to me, he's really the first artist who has brought this energy back from the mid-2010s into the 2020s,
sure.
Which is why he excites me a lot as an artist.
He's also brought back my favorite thing about rap, which is boasting.
I mean, that's always going to be in rap. It's literally like a fundamental thing in rap.
This whole song is a good boast. I really like it.
Yeah, but this song would be crazy live.
Sure.
I can imagine a big crowd going wild. Up next is Up Off X. This guy loves drugs.
It's about ecstasy.
He does love drugs. There's another
one where I'm like, you could have turned it into being like something a bit more informative because he's like, I'm up all night. You're under the influence so much that like you can't sleep at all, stuff like that. But, it's fine. It's fine. There's just more boasting about how he's making hits because that's what people want to hear. They want success.
Yeah.
They want to see him as successful.
Yeah.
I think a big thing to note as well is, I've read up a little bit on Yeet's backstory a little bit more. Love the music. I mean, he made well on drugs. So sure. I think that's obviously why drugs comes up as a topic a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a lot of artists, that he's inspired by do the same thing. We're talking Future, we're talking Young Thug.
It's a scary balance. And one of the songs, I can't remember what it is, he says that like every time he does drugs, he makes a hit or something like that. And I was like, ooh, that is a recipe for somebody who dies of doing too many drugs. Like
join
if you think that you have to do it for your creativity, that can be dangerous. But
It's unfortunate. I mean, again, we talk about people dying. Obviously, X didn't die because of drugs, but Juice WRLD did.
Mm-hmm. How did X die? He was like shot, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was robbed like... he didn't want to give up like his bag or something. He got shot like outside of like a motorcycle dealership. Pretty tragic. Yeah. But then again, like you have artists like Juice WRLD who died from drugs or many other artists who have died from drugs.
Lil Peep.
Lil Peep, rest yes, peace, correct.
Oh, jeez.
I forgot about Lil Peep.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
And, you know, it's obviously a tragic fate for a lot of these talented artists. So, you know, not saying, again, I'm pretty sure we're all on the same page that obviously we don't condone drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except for the ones that give you popcorn lung.
Those are yeah, the song itself is fine. I like the backing track, but it's a little, it's short. That's kind of the thing about Rage. But it's prominent enough that it's very clear, the loop, and I found it a bit repetitive over time. But I did like the boominess of it.
Yeah, this one in particular is pretty repetitive. Like, he says up off X how many times. And I got a little sick of it. I did like a couple lines, like got him sick like flu like swine. It's funny swine flu reference.
I miss,
you know,
it.
Every now and then he says something a little clever. I don't think that's the case for like the vast majority of his lyrics, but every now and then I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good line. It's
that's a good
bar.
Similes, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
One thing to note is that most of the songs are pretty short. Like, they're all kind of in the 2 minute range.
Yeah.
I think Up Off X is actually, there's three that are over 2 minutes, and that's one of them.
This is when I really started to hate the extra vocals, though, like all the random skirts and yeahs and stuff.
That's what makes it.
Maybe. Not for me.
Up next is Out the Way. And I didn't mind this one.
This one has the most pleasant-sounding vocals of this album so far.
Yeah, it got my head bobbing. I like the kind of pacing of the lyrics, and it changes up quite a bit. This is the one first where I was like, Benny X. I was like, what is going on? What is happening here? It's a producer call-out that happened throughout the song. It's like, hey, don't forget.
Benny
I produced
X.
This song.
That's
it's
right.
Like when you downloaded a song off LimeWire.
100%, and there's like a weird, like, this is, belongs to Magnolan Roche or whatever. Yeah. Because it's ripped from somewhere, and that's like a copyright infringement thing.
In my opinion, that tag is so good, you could use that as an instrument. And that's why it appears so much
Benny
on
X.
Here.
I find it like so annoying, and just like it completely pulls me out of the whole song. It's like, oh yeah, thanks Benny X.
It kills me when DJ Khaled does it.
DJ Khaled,
anyone, the best music.
If you have to shout your own name, then I don't think you're like as good as you think you are.
Little John when he does that. Yeah.
I guess to give a little bit more insight on who Benny X is, I feel like this was the first project that really blew him up as a producer.
It worked.
Yeah. He mentioned in an interview that Benny X, he felt like he was the first one that really got the sound that he wanted to do.
Sure.
He's part of this collective called Working on Dying, and you hear that a bunch throughout the project as well. And this group, Benny X in particular, more recently, really one of the most in-demand producers. We saw him produce Quavo's newest album. We saw him a bunch on Drake's newest album. So clearly he's getting a lot of attention right now.
Yeah, he should keep putting Benny X
songs.
Clearly,
please don't.
But you guys don't enjoy the production?
I think the production's fine. Yeah. I just hate hearing Benny X.
The call out is funny.
If it happened like at the beginning only, I'd be like, all right. But the fact that it comes up like three times per song, I was
Yeah, once or twice like on an album wouldn't bother me. But it's like constantly on like every song, Benny X.
And I guess it goes back to like how it wasn't really supposed to be listened to as an individual.
Sure,
or, like, 100%. An album. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. This one has 290 million plays on Spotify.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is probably what I think is the best song on the album. I like the part about your money subtracting. I thought that was pretty funny.
I think I'm Osama the way I blew up and left on the earth. I was like, that's fire.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Like, so every now and then, I think it was like the third or fourth song in where I was like, this guy is never going to rhyme more than two syllable words. And then he finally, on like the eighth track, he rhymes three syllables or something. And I was like, hey, all right. But it's usually like at least decent or interesting or thought provoking. A lot of his bars.
I like the one insult he has is that you have a little Rolex. It's like you only have a little Rolex.
Yeah, only a little one. Yeah.
Okay. Come on, there's a date just. That's the there are levels to this. You can have a date just.
Sheesh.
You can have a Submariner.
Now I know.
I think
I can't just get any Rolex.
I think this is the first time he brings up the Urus too.
which comes up quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Yeah, the first. Well. Yeah.
This was also the only song on the album that got a music video as well.
Okay.
And that music video was produced by Cole Bennett.
Sure.
It's entirely just one shot.
Of him
just
driving?
No, not even. It's like him in this like dystopian like hillscape. And the camera is just zooming out, revealing more kind of in the fringes. I don't know if you remember the Kanye West Power music video.
Oh, yeah.
It was shot very similarly to that.
But that was like animated, wasn't it?
That one was very animated. This one is a little bit less animated. But I thought that was a really interesting approach. And Cole Bennett, Lyrical Lemonade, probably the most prolific music video director, at least when it comes to modern rap. And
the music video for Power is like a minute long, and the song is like 3 or 4 minutes.
True.
That's what I remember. Yeah,
anyway. That's true.
That is a visually striking music video, right?
Yeah, okay. It's pretty crazy.
And then we get on to What It Feel Like. But like is spelled L-Y-K-E.
Like life.
Oh, and with an umlaut.
You know what? It's got
is that
some
what you
tasteful,
call it?
It's got the little,
It's got some tasteful pan flute, a la Praise the Lord by A$AP Rocky to kick off the song. It's short. It's not too bad. I like that he's rapping fast enough that I, again, can't understand. But what really kicked in, I was like, it's not just that he's rapping fast. I just don't know the slang. Like, I don't know the slang.
What are you confused about?
I learned what a blick was from this album.
I don't know what a blick is.
Yeah, I still don't know what a blick is.
Fair. It's like a gun.
It is a gun. Yeah.
Sure.
So I think a big thing that Yeat has kind of brought to the table, a lot of his own original slang
that
has kind of, fed into what young people say nowadays. Things like twizzy. Things
schmunk.
Like schmunk,
Yeah, I had that written down as schmunk is a weird one. What is twizzy?
Schmunk?
Either of those, twizzy or schmunk.
Twizzy is like your brother. It's like your twin.
Yeah, that one, that one kind of goxy refers to twizzy a couple times.
Also like me and Bill.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And then schmunk, I think, is just like, being really high off drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Getting schmunked.
I thought it was a really cool choice for them to have the beat louder than the lyrics on this one.
Yeah, another thing that's just like, the mixing isn't fantastic on this album. But that being said, I think there's a really fun, moving bass line on this song.
You're looking at me like I had two heads, but like the Spotify mix sounds that way.
Oh, that was fine.
Oh, okay. So,
I have no complaints. I just looked over and Jamie's giving me the stink eye.
Oh, no, I'm listening right now. Because you were listening.
That sounds good.
I actually wanted
I like
beat
it
to
when it
harder.
Can be surrounding or enveloping.
Yeah.
As long as it's not every time, it feels more purposeful, and I think it sounds good.
Yeah.
It's got some good synths in the beat this time, too. I like that.
I think that's what Benny X does really well. He uses synths really well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a classically trained music producer. He's not just like born out of FL Studio or whatever. So, he plays with melodies. He plays with different sounds a lot better than what most music producers.
It's not just playing with Fruity Loops.
I thought it was pretty repetitive for the most part. It changes up like a little bit at the end, but for the most part, I get that it's only like 2 minutes and 10 seconds, but it's almost the same loop over and over.
I think that's fair, but at the same time, that's a lot of what rage music is.
I get it, and that is fine, but I got bored.
I didn't feel that bad, but up next is Got It All. My money tall, your money small, your money midget, huh? Is the most random rap diss I've ever heard, but I also am here for it. It's pretty good. I like this. Is another one where I think the beat goes pretty hard.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, this one was pretty good.
How did he know that my money was small?
That's midget. What I want to know. This one has another call out, Dulio, and then there's Japanese, and I don't know what it says, but hey.
Yeah.
We're switching up from Benny X.
Yeah, so Benny X produced, I think, half of the songs on this project, so he didn't produce everything. The other producers, I don't think, are as prolific. It might have been a situation where the way these producers get placements with these rappers, they'll just send a bunch of different tracks to a bunch of different rappers, and maybe he, heard this beat that was sent to him and was like, okay, I want to record over it.
Yeah, because Dulio comes up every verse or every chorus. So I wonder if it is something like that. Just like that is when it's looping.
Oh, it's like a watermark.
I don't have an answer for it.
It's like a 6 minute long loop, and it just like has a watermark every like 30 seconds or something.
Dulio, if you're listening, Let us know. This guy also wants to make sure that parents don't like him. He says he works with the devil.
Yeah, he does.
The devil is his twizzy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this album does have a parental advisory on the front of it.
Are you aware of what your kids are listening to? Yeah, there's a lot.
Sorry, Mom.
What is a bunion? 200 bunion on bunion.
Well, bunion was like, that was a tall guy, wasn't it?
That's Paul.
Yeah, Paul Bunion.
Paul Bunion.
But he's like, yeah, I got bunion on bunion. I was like, all right, sure.
I got a bunion on my foot.
He's tall on tall.
He also had Tonka before Urus.
Yeah, that's why I thought he was referring to like his childhood. Like, yeah, my first car was a Tonka truck, and then my actual first car was a Urus.
I think he had like an Escalade.
Sure.
His first Tonka was a Mercedes G63.
Sure.
That's... Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Big. Or sorry, not a G, E63.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. It was Blicky. He heard you were trying to be Blicky.
like a gun? I'm trying to understand this now.
You sucking the Blick.
Okay. Yeah, so Blicky could mean multiple things. Mm-hmm. Obviously a gun, but guns are kind of phallic shaped.
Yeah, they are.
I understand. Say less.
I see why there's a parental advisor in the front now. up next after that is Can't Stop It.
It starts good.
Yeah, this is one where I was finally like, I thought the beat was actually changing up a bit, and I really liked it.
This is one I note where it's like, wow, the production quality feels like it's jumped a lot.
Yeah, 100%.
I really like the backing track.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite backing tracks so far.
Got guitars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought the flow was fine. I thought the ending was pretty good, but then it faded out. Which, I mean, it's an EP, whatever. That's fine. I can kind of forgive it a bit more. Yeah, the ending was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys find about this? Because this one was a Benny X beat as well.
Oh, I know. Benny X. Yeah, no fire. Even it's slower, so I can understand the words.
Yeah.
Perk after perk. I don't know what a yerk is. It's a cool word, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure what a yerk is either.
It's provocative.
It gets the people going.
Yeah. This is the one where I said, at this point, I'm convinced he can't rhyme words bigger than two syllables. He proved me wrong. He ended up proving me wrong.
So I think the cool thing about this track is, you know, it's kind of Yeet's first departure away from that kind of like rage trap.
Sure.
You have a little bit more of a rock inspired beat, mm-hmm. obviously. And it's carried on in his future projects. So Afterlife, which is the project was released right after this one,
the actual album.
Yeah. quite a few beats when it comes to rock. And then 2093, which is his most recent project, which literally just released like this month.
Oh, okay.
Very, very rock inspired.
Interesting.
And it's a complete, not a complete departure. You have a lot of those like gritty synths and like weird spacey beats. But
I wonder what made him make the shift.
Sorry?
I wonder what made him make the shift to a more rock sound.
Probably just trying different things out.
Yeah.
I think on 2093, you didn't have as much Benny X either. So that might have been one thing
Benny
as
X.
well.
Huh.
I really like the line. I got the big old whip, got a big old Glock, got the big old stick with a binky. Don't know what that means, but it's kind of funny. He also says Jake's a lot in reference to like the police.
Yeah.
And every time I'd look up, because my first name is Jake, I'd be like, huh?
Huh?
Oh, the Jake's.
You know what's funny? Yeet's known for the bells in his song too.
I
don't think there were a lot of bells in this project, but... you know, I referenced the project Up to Me, which to me was really the project that defined Yeet's sound and what he's doing now. Bells were used everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's great because it makes me pay attention to funny lines like, yeah, I learned my lesson for these Jakes. I say they schwerms. They thought they gonna eat me up like a fish. Get eat by worm.
That's pretty good.
They schwerms.
See, like, every now and then he's got some legitimately pretty good bars.
Yeah, on the phone with my demon, we build it up and then retire. It's like if you take any of these out of context, it's like, are you okay? What does this mean? It's like a Quora question answer, like a random AI generated message.
It's that how is Babby form?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Schwerms.
Schwerms. Pregnant.
Next is Crank.
Crank with a K.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I started to think that he kind of sounds the same on basically every track.
Well, he talks about drugs and money on
yeah.
very a good yeah. number of them.
But this one's by Mingo, the production.
Mingo.
I'd agree with you, Plouf, on this one. I feel like this one was one of the less interesting tracks on the album. A lot of the same flows, kind of the same type of beat.
Talking about the same stuff.
Yeah.
Look at my money, my car.
This is the one where I noticed the Urus.
Yeah, perks like, are crazy. Wow. Yeah. Look at this Urus. I'm banging some girl. I'm number one. Look at my diamonds. Stuff like that. I mean, not those exact words, but it's all kind of around those themes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I got confused, because I was like, oh, I guess Rolexes aren't cool anymore after the little Rolly one. And he's like, yeah, I've got a Rolly on my wrist. I'm like, what up, man? Pick a lane. Like Rolexes or don't.
He just doesn't like small ones.
Exactly.
Dude. Mm-hmm. He likes big Rolexes.
Listen.
There's levels to this.
Yeah.
Listen. You can have a $10,000 Rolex or a $50,000.
That's true.
I'll look at I'll watch the Business Insider on Rolexes when I get home.
Like most high-end merchandise, it's kind of a scam.
How it's made. Rolex. otherwise, I don't really have any thoughts. Jamie, do you have any thoughts on this one?
No. It is probably one of the least interesting ones on this album. I'll agree with Arthur on that one.
For sure.
And then we get into Talk.
Yes, got an intro.
217 million plays.
Really?
On Spotify.
Yeah. This is where I was like, I cannot stand the Benny X call-out.
Benny X.
This is the best use of the Benny X call-out.
No, just, oh God, stop with the Benny X call-out.
Yeah, the backing track goes hard on this one.
Sure.
Benny X should get a call-out. This is
You know what? If I had listened to this song by itself, it probably wouldn't bother me. But at this point in the album, I was so sick of hearing Benny X that it like stood out as a thing that was driving me nuts.
Benny X, by the way, only said twice.
On this track?
Yeah, that's the fewest amount of Benny X's per song.
Yeah, it's usually like three or four.
This was the project's leading single, actually.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. I don't really have many notes other than what does Twiz mean, which now I know. And I realized again that he triples his money a lot.
Yeah.
It's always triple.
Never double.
Triples is best. Triples is safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this track. I love how the synths play with the 808. Mm-hmm. Kind of that like epic sounding, you know, huge feeling.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that also combined with the intro, which was an interview with somebody outside of a Yeet concert.
Yeah.
Guy's got to be so hyped.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being him.
But again, when I talk a lot about this cult fan base, the rowdiness, the craziness that happens at these shows, I feel like that intro really just, mm-hmm. you know, described it. I mean, that was just a candid person saying how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this song would make me go nuts. Like, the bass is just so booming. I like the, like, almost whiny synths that go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It goes hard.
Yeah, the production's good. Like, Benny X is a good producer. I'll give him that.
Benny X.
I just wish he would use that line.
I like that he uses the word slime. I worked with a guy who used to call everyone his slime. I think that's funny. I think that was like 10 years ago, and I thought it was hilarious back then.
Wow.
I still think slime is funny now.
So you do know the lingo, Jamie.
I know some of the lingo.
Jamie's hip and cool.
Yeah.
He's urban.
Yes. Fine urban gentleman myself. Yes.
Up next is Come On.
This is the fifth song on the album to mention a Lamborghini Urus.
This is where I wrote, at this point, I am sick of hearing about the Urus. Talk about something else, please.
It's funny, right after I mentioned the tripling, he starts tripling words in the song.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds awesome. I was like, you win this time. I go, huh, he talks about tripling. He's like, Yeah. Flex, flex, flex. Whatever, whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. This kind of goes hard. I like it.
I'm not as much of a fan about the tripling. It drives me kind of crazy.
This guy don't got a blick, blick, blick.
No, I don't. I just want, like, I don't know. I want, like, rhymes and...
He misses the good old days.
Clever stuff, and I don't know. I don't want to just hear yeah, and whatever.
Well, over you know, and over again. Will Smith doesn't have to swear in his rhymes.
That don't rhyme.
That's an old person joke. That's why Artie and I are silent.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Completely weird reference that no one's going to get. That's not even
it's
like...
from a very old Eminem song. So,
wait, what song was it?
I don't remember.
I was thinking of the Bloodhound Gang reference.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's in this. Those came out around the same time. Yeah. I'm going to look it up.
There's another song by Yeet also called Come On, but like spelled like C-M-O-N.
Sure.
Come On. I feel like that song is the much better Yeet Come On.
Yeah.
This song, again, I felt a lot of the same ways I felt about Crank. I feel like it was one of the weaker songs.
Yeah.
Probably just in there a little bit as filler. But yeah.
Here I am, the lone Yeet fan who likes Come On. That's okay.
It's okay.
I'm a simple man. I like triples.
And then we get System, where he brings up the Urus again.
I'm pretty sure he got the Urus like maybe just before this album, because he brings it up a lot.
I can tell. I can tell.
In an earlier song in this album, he mentions wrapping his other car. He talks about changing the color of the car. And then it just, he never talks about it again. He just talks about the Urus after that.
That's probably the Mercedes. He was really known for that Mercedes.
I say the Benz comes up in the first few songs and doesn't come up really. I like the line, "I'm high as a monk." I guess monks are known for living in high places.
Yeah.
Never really thought about it before.
There was like one famous monk who did a ton of cocaine. I can't remember his name.
I don't think about doing drugs. I think more like living in mountains.
Oh yeah, 100%. That's what he's talking about. But there have been monks who've been known to dabble in certain substances.
Hashtag not my monk.
Not my monk.
Absolutely not.
No, otherwise, you're right.
This song is whatever.
When I think of monk, I think of...
The detective series?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I can't remember. I should know. I really should.
This might be the song he raps the fastest on, though.
Yes, I believe so.
Really?
I mean, don't quote me on that, but it's a really fast flow. And I think it also is one of the more popular songs on the album as well. Is that correct?
I didn't write that down. I will find out, though.
Good, because you have three really big hits, and then the rest are kind of...
Yeah, there were like three or four on Spotify that had like 200 million plays or whatever. Most of the rest were like 50 million or whatever.
I'm fact-checking that. Don't worry.
I'll never know. I use Apple Music, and you just get some dots. And the only one with dots are Flawless and Out the Way.
Wow. They got dots, though.
Mm-hmm. Really? Talk doesn't have a dot? Oh, man. Apple Music listeners are missing out.
Fell off.
Talk had 218, and then System has 48 million plays.
Oh, it's not one of the bigger ones. Okay.
Wait, it is one of the bigger ones, right?
Yeah. So really? Out the Way was the biggest on this album. Out the Way has 291 million plays. Flawless has 200 million plays. And then Talk is at 218. And this one is at 47 million. That has been your fact check.
Let's go. We made it.
Next is Holy One. Another fire backing track.
Yeah, not bad. I liked it.
I really like the synths on this one.
It is the seventh track now to mention a Lamborghini Urus.
Yeah. I didn't like the vocal intro. But then this is the one where he rhymed diminished attention or something like that. There was a few triple syllable rhymes, and I was like, okay, that's not bad.
I like this one.
I'm really curious, like, you guys don't have to listen to it if you don't want to, but...
If we'd like his new album more, yeah.
2093 by Yeet, the project he just dropped. Again, I know you guys really like Can't Stop It, the backing track on that. You like when he's a little bit more coherent, when he's rapping, few more syllables. I think he recorded 2093 pretty much sober.
Interesting.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
it's an interesting choice.
It seems like he's departing away from kind of this rage sound.
Sure.
Did he find God?
Sorry?
Did he find God?
Maybe. Who knows? Because you know, he talks a lot about how his drug usage is affecting him in that album. How a lot of the things, you know, the fame, the money that he's chasing, is it really getting him anywhere? I think that album is a lot more interesting in terms of subject matter. When you guys asked me to bring an album here to talk about, unfortunately it wasn't out, but it just came out, and I think it's really worth a listen.
Yeah, okay.
This is the song that he says schmunked out. He also says he's going to blick him, which is like the least threatening thing I've ever heard. I'm going to blick him.
I will admit, blick is not the most scary sounding term for like shooting someone or using a gun on someone.
So is Flawless the only one with another rapper on it?
Yeah, it's the only song with a feature.
His voice changes up a lot. Even between verses, I was like, oh, this must be someone else. But auto-tune. That's crazy.
He's using auto-tune across like the entire thing.
Okay. He's using auto-tune, but he also pushes the limits of his voices. And he really, really makes some weird sounding voices.
I can't tell. Because it's going through a filter.
I mean,
so I don't know.
Fair, but if you listen to some of his earlier stuff, and I'm talking about before Up to Me, before 4L, which were two of the projects that really got him, you know, a cult following. You hear him and he sounds completely different because sure. he's not playing around with his voice as much. Here he kind of pushes it to be a little bit deeper, a little weirder. And sure, maybe Life isn't the best example of, you know, having a vast array of different voices that he does, but in terms of just, you know, a variety of how he can use his voice, I think he's one of the most creative and unique today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mind the auto-tune at all. It's never been something that even came up as like, I don't like this or I'm tired of it. It just kind of like was. I didn't mind.
Yeah, it didn't affect my...
It is 100% a me thing. I just don't like auto-tune. I never have. I remember when it like started really getting heavily used.
T-Pain.
And it just like, I've never liked it. It's a personal thing.
And then we get into Killing Him.
This is one of my least favorite songs. I think it's
what?
Like,
I think this really? Might be the one of the better songs.
Right?
On this album.
I thought it was pretty boring. I thought the laid back beat was kind of whatever.
I really liked
it. I liked when he rhymed amoxicillin and amphetamines. That was cool. But I thought it took way too long for the song to end, even though it was just under like 3 minutes long. I don't know. I liked other ones more than I liked.
Damn, I really like this one. I like that it was like the one like semi-serious track. He doesn't really talk so much about like how he has more stacks than I do and a uterus. It's more about how like choices in people's lifestyles are causing their death and things like that. But he doesn't really get it. He doesn't get much more than skin deep on the subject.
Sure, it's very surface level. But yeah. Hey, I mean, at least touching that subject is, you know. It's,
plus, there's some lore. He works at Chili's.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, wow. He's like, I work at Chili's. I was like, okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if Yeet worked at Chili's. If you saw some videos, I mean, there were some videos recently of Yeet that got leaked of him before, like, all the fame. He was a very normal-looking dude. Like,
yeah.
If you saw him walking down the street, he's not a rapper.
Yeah, if you look at the story of his upbringing or, like where he came from, his father is, like, is American and British or something like that, and his mother's from Mexico.
Yeah,
is that right?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. So his, and then like he grew up on the West Coast and then moved to Oregon or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And that's another thing.
I don't believe that you know about his backstory. I know about his backstory. Let me say this entire thing as a question.
I think so. Anyway, there's a lot to it, but
no,
Oregon isn't exactly the most gangsta, like the, the mecca of rap, if you will.
Not at all. I mean,
Dame Dalla's from there.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not from there. But.
Well, he's been initiated into Portland culture.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Portland's not known as the hip-hop capital by any means. But you've had some, you know, interesting rappers that have come out, like Yeet, Aminé, not sure if you remember
yes.
him.
Yes, oh,
Caroline.
So good.
It was a song that kind of got big in the 2010s.
Kurt Cobain.
Was he from? I thought he was from Seattle.
Same.
Close, right?
I mean, yeah, they're fairly close. I mean, well, you know, I another reason why I really like Yeet is, you know, he kind of reps the Pacific Northwest.
Sure.
Yeah, this is the song where I was like, ah, cool. He's gonna mention like how things are bad. The chorus is about people are dying from drugs and weapons and stuff like that. But again, does not. Which is, I guess, not his responsibility, especially being a young man. But you know, you kind of hope to not glamorize that stuff as to make things worse, but you know, it's his choice.
Hmm.
Otherwise, song's fine.
Wait, isn't that guy that has a song with Ben Shapiro right now from BC?
Tom Holland?
Tom
or Tom McDonald?
Tom McDonald.
Tom Holland. Spider-Man.
Isn't he from like Vancouver?
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's not relevant to this at all.
But no, he said that he represents the Pacific Northwest.
So does he.
Yeah.
I guess you could say so.
Well, that ends the album. It's only 34 minutes long.
Yeah.
Not super long. Why don't we talk about the record itself?
Sure.
Jamie, if you want to pass that over
to Mr. Erdy.
While you do that, I have a question for Arthur.
Okay.
I recently learned that only half of current vinyl record buyers own a record player. Do you own a record player?
Yes, I do. But
wow.
I had a bunch of vinyls before I owned a record player.
Sure. I think, mm-hmm. to be fair, that's how a lot, it happens to a lot of people. They get into like buying it, and then they're like, well, okay, now I've got like 10 of these. I should probably buy a player.
I think for me, one of the things is I just wanted to have like, you know, like a wall of different vinyls. And
yeah.
As somebody with a record wall, I recommend it.
Yeah.
I recommend it. So okay. Why don't you describe the front for us?
All right. So the front here, we got Yeet in his signature Shiesty balaclava.
He's doing the who is it? Lil Baby?
Da Baby. He's got the hat on too. I think it's a Chrome Hearts hat. I'm not sure.
He's got runes
on it. Can you explain his proclivity towards balaclavas?
Yeah, so I feel like Yeet's kind of gone in a couple of phases. So during this time, the balaclava was a huge thing. Everything from... it was big from Two Alive, which was the project right before Life, to Afterlife, where he was kind of wearing the balaclava. The reason why he really developed this cult fan base is, you know, he stays mysterious. People want to know more. You know, people like to associate with somebody who's, you know, it's kind of in the shadows. You don't really know a lot about
it. It worked for Doom.
Yeah, like MF Doom in his mask. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And I think another thing is, you know, a lot of people, when they first hear Yeet, they don't think of him as a white guy, right? Mm. So maybe the balaclava might have been a way to kind of, you know, hide his skin a little bit more and get accepted a little bit more into the hip-hop community. I'm not saying you have to do that in order to do that, in order to be accepted. Obviously, there's so many examples of rappers of different races who have made, you know,
Macklemore.
Great careers.
Vanilla Ice.
The only two.
Like more recently, Jack Harlow.
Yeah.
Oh, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's really a reason. Before this, he was really big into, he called it a turban. It wasn't really a turban. It was just like a scarf that he kind of like wrapped around his face to keep, you know, like a low profile, be mysterious, hidden. Yeah.
So he's standing on the front. He's doing DaBaby gun hands to his head. He's wearing a rune hat. It's black and white. Mm-hmm. Top right has what looks like a swastika, but is not.
No, that's Life.
Yeah, it says Life in crazy font.
And I think he's got a Richard Mille on, which you...
It's a little Rolly.
It's not a little Rolly. This is the complete opposite. So Rolex is, again, like 10 to 50,000. Richard Mille is 100,000 plus.
And guess what? He has one on his other wrist, too.
I don't think the other one's a Richard Mille. That looks like an AP.
The fact that you can identify it is very impressive.
Oh, are you a watch head like Mark?
I'm not a watch head. I know the major watch brands, and I, you know, one day I'd like to own some of them, but you know, I can't really get into it because I don't have the money.
Please go to HelloFresh.com and use code HappyBear.
Yes. We just need 1,000 people to sign up and I can buy.
No problem. Yeah.
And what's on the back?
So on the back right here, it's just a track list. You have the Life and top center, big blown up.
I like the off gray that it is. It's a really pleasing color.
It's nice. I was going to say it's a nice color palette. There's no colors in here, but,
it's got schmutz in the bottom. What happened?
I put it on my PC when I was, at work today and it fell off. So that might have been one thing. But yeah, I mean, there's not really too much going on in the back here. You just have the titles of all the tracks and everybody involved in it, from writers to producers.
Noah Smith is his name?
Yes.
That is not a gangster name.
No.
Hi, I'm Noah Smith. I work at Chili's.
That's why he wears a balaclava.
Yeah.
Or the Shiesty.
Shiesty. What about the record itself?
The record, I think that's the most interesting part about this. So it's kind of like a smoked out type of vibe you got. It's a little... translucent. It's not quite transparent, right?
Yeah, it's translucent with like a smoky vibe.
Yeah, it's pretty gray, cool. The same pleasing gray as the label and the back of the record. Yeah. Smoky gray, and then just Life in a crazy font, honestly.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild decision to use that font.
And like, then you like have Prince. The complete opposite, just the most, I think that might be Arial.
Yeah, Arial font for Yeet, and then just side A, side B. Very pretty. And it sounded really good when we listened to it.
Yes, we did listen to it. Yeah, and the pressing is quite good. And, you know, sometimes colored vinyl can be hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
This one was hit.
I find these days it's a lot less likely. Like,
yeah, thank
10 goodness. Or 20 years ago, sure, but I feel like they've kind of figured it out.
Yeah.
I sold my copy of Very Good Bad Thing by Mother. The person who bought it for, like, $180.
Hell yeah.
It will be very disappointed that it sounds like trash because it's an early color vinyl.
Bell, they probably won't even listen to it. They probably just bought it because of whatever.
Shout out TikTok for making them popular again.
No, this was happening before TikTok.
Mother was not popular before TikTok.
Vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. But yeah.
What'd you pay for it?
That's literally what I was going to bring up. This is $60. Like, it was not a cheap album.
Is that with shipping, though?
It was off of Amazon, so yes.
Yeah, okay.
Off of Amazon, it was $60.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I actually am surprised. I feel like if it's on Amazon, there's enough of the record.
Then it's like 40
tops.
You'd
charge a whole lot, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a hefty price tag.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, Yeet has a cult fan base. They're willing to spend a little bit more for a collector
item. I mean, the Swifties did it.
Is it a collector item? Like, is it a limited run?
No, it's not.
Collector item in the way of, it's a record, right? You collect records.
Sure, yeah. But, I mean, there are limited runs and legitimate collector's items.
I don't think it's a limited run.
Sure, yeah.
We'll find out. We'll go on Discogs in 3 months, and it'll be worth way more.
Maybe.
Let's go.
At least it's not just a plain black vinyl. And like I said, it does look very cool in the package. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I mean, I spent $80 on Disclosure, as we talked about.
Sure did.
I'll never let it go, man. I'm still choked.
mine still hasn't shown up.
Yeah, but how much was yours, Jamie?
$31.
Yeah, so we can't talk. Plus, I think my Adam Sandler 8 Crazy Nights was also very expensive. And the quality of the cover, like the photo, was low res. Like it was pixely.
It
looked like they blew up the CD jacket.
Yeah, it looked real bad.
I've spent a lot of money on records that aren't necessarily the best record. It happens all the time.
What's the most expensive record you guys have?
That I own?
Yes.
Oh, geez, I'll go on Discogs.
It's either going to be my Katamari Damacy one or my Empire of the Sun one, both that I got through my AMD upgrade. Watch that video if it's out. It's probably not out yet, but I mean, you can. Great album.
Right now, surprisingly, is my Alice in Chains MTV Unplugged. It's like sitting at a median of $350.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why. I buy a lot of like kind of limited release stuff that's really underground or not like wildly accepted as popular. Like The Bicycle Thief is currently going for a median of like $270. My Currents box set is like $240 right now, median.
Oh, I forgot. I have that Nirvana limited edition one that I somehow stumbled across. It's worth $856.
What? How much do you pay for it?
Well, it's an original pressing.
Yeah, I got it in like an auction or something like
that. Yeah, you got lucky.
I can't remember where I got it from.
I also used to buy a lot of video game soundtracks, which would like come out for like $80 shipped, but then they'd instantly triple in price and go for like $300+ or whatever.
Double or triple?
My most expensive album apparently is my copy, wherever it is. It's of George Harrison's All Things Must Pass.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a box set. So there's like 7 LPs in there.
Oh, that's huge, too. That's a huge box set.
Yeah. So that's 7 LPs. So that's why that one costs so much. That's like $300.
Yeah.
And then the next one up is I have the Rolling Stones Elmo Combo 1977 album. And that's like $220 or something like that.
Just looking at Discogs, I'm actually surprised by how many records I have that are worth like $150, $200.
Let's get back to finishing this off.
Yeah,
Artie, what's your vinyl verdict? You can rate it out of whatever you want. You can just say it's good or bad. Do whatever
it's a
you
bicycle
like.
Out of a grapefruit.
Don't listen to Jamie. Don't do that.
Yeah, please don't listen to Jamie.
I think this is tough. You know, I mainly brought this album to show you guys Yeet and kind of where rap has evolved into and what the popular sound is nowadays, at least when it comes to.
Yeah, and that's a much more interesting conversation than here's an album.
Sure. I don't think this is Yeet's strongest album. I already mentioned that. I think it actually might be one of his weaker albums. But it had some really exciting songs on here. I think that's what raises a lot. Flawless Talk. Out the Way, 3 great Yeet tracks, some of his best work in my opinion. But that being said, again, a lot of these other tracks, and we talked a lot about it as well, it's not that interesting. It sounds kind of all the same. It's all the same subjects. It's all the same type of beats, same flows, same voices. So, you know, overall, I'd probably give this album a 5 or 6 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, this is actually the highest rated Yeet album by Pitchfork.
Yeah, they rated it a 7 out of 10.
No, no.
Yeah.
Why didn't they? Oh, they gave it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
Right?
The other ones are all 6 point something. Mm-hmm. I was like, huh. Wow.
And now Pitchfork doesn't exist. Take that, Pitchfork.
Do they actually?
Well, no, there's part of GQ.
They got folded into GQ.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Whatever.
Well, Plouf, what's your final verdict?
I mean, yeah, mine's pretty low, but I feel a lot better now that Arthur gave it a 6. Because I think that's all fair. Like, he's okay. I do not like this genre of hip-hop. I just kind of know that now. There's clearly an audience, but it's absolutely not me. Like I mentioned before, I think it sometimes sounds like a parody of what people thought rap was going to sound like 10 years from now. And it's funny how that often happens, mm-hmm. How people are just surprisingly prolific. But yeah, it's 100% serious, and I can't really stand it most of the time. It's almost never clever. When it is, it's good, and I do like it, but it just those are a few standout lines and a few tracks. And I don't find his flow like anything special. I have no idea, like, why people seem to like this so much, and I don't think I'll ever get it, and that's okay, because maybe I'm just old now, or it's just not for me.
No, it's the kids who are wrong.
It's totally the kids who are wrong.
The kids just want to turn up. Yeah. That's all they want.
They just want to turn up. I give it a 3 out of 10. I think it's mostly saved by the beat, but the beat is also killed a lot of the time by the Benny X call out. And I would probably never listen to this one again, let alone purchase it. I like Trap. I don't like Rage. I'll try listening to like his newer album because I might like it. Who knows?
I think there are also some other more exciting Rage albums out there that might be interesting to listen to. Dial It by Playboi Carti.
Sure.
Very interesting album. Hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think everything you said is totally fair.
Jamie?
I wasn't a huge fan of like the samey sounding lyrics. We discussed that already. I thought the backing was good, and then when it was really good, that was kind of a highlight or a surprise almost. But the number of times he brought up the same stuff and had like a sort of a samey sounding beat, kind of dragged down my rating on it. But I didn't hate it. So I'm going to give it a 7 out of... I rate it out of 13 because I'm the weird one here. And this is my house. I can do what I want. But I'll give it a 7 out of 13, which is like barely a passing grade.
Hey, which I mean, is pretty on par with mine.
Yeah.
For my vinyl verdict, I've written a Yeet song.
Yo!
Did you just do this down?
Yo!
Tonka's Lamborghini tripled. Ben's ecstasy perks Benny X. The devil in my Bentley is my Twizzy. He hold my binky. Uris, Mingo, Diamonds, Jake's, Dulio. I'm working on dying. Benny X. Thank you. I like the dark beats that made me bob along, but the lyrics did not hit me when it feels like he's speaking a different language at a mile a minute, and I'm being advertised beat producers at a rate I'd never thought possible. I never thought it was possible. I actually changed my rating while we were listening. I was like, you know, it's not that bad. And then I was like, yeah, no. And I changed it back to the original one.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in the 29th spot underneath Superflight by Cassiopeia and above the LMG Christmas album. yeah, it's slightly better than the LMG Christmas album. It may seem like a low placement. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, though. It just wasn't as good as I'd hoped, since I was hoping it'd still relate to the youth of today.
I didn't realize he hated Cassiopeia that much.
That was the
least offensive album we listened to all year.
Yeah, that's boring. I don't want to listen to just not offensive, right?
Oh, it's so good.
On a serious note, though, don't abuse drugs. Don't do perk after yerk after perk, you know?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Just stick to one perk.
Oh. Yeah. Stick to one perk, stick to vaping, you know, the healthy things.
Benzos are bad. NyQuil's Percocets cheap. Are bad. Lean is bad.
Trank is cool.
Trank is not cool. Trank is really bad for you.
Don't get schmunk.
Yeah, no, don't get too schmunked.
Schmunked. Do not. Artie, what else have you been listening to? Now that we're in our post-care.
Post-amble.
Oh. After care.
Yo, it's funny. Plouf brought up this, like how a lot of the music, you know, it's music that was released recently, but it's artists that you know, you've listened to for a while. I feel like that's kind of where I'm at right now. Mm. You know, there's not too many new artists that I discover. I used to be really in tune with kind of like the underground scene and all these new artists. Like I would be able to, you know, hear their music before they really started the rise. Yeet, I wasn't there.
You were part of it.
I caught on to him when he was already popular, or at least popular, you know, for the rap scene.
You missed the pulse.
Exactly. But that being said, like Yeet's probably one of the newer artists that I've discovered and I've been listening to. You know, I think there was a really interesting project last year from Travis Scott, Utopia, which had a lot of interesting production on it.
Nominated for Album of the Year?
It was, yes. And I think it absolutely got snubbed.
Who ended up winning?
Killer Mike.
Oh.
Which, a completely different sound. And I think that's the difficulty about ranking the best hip-hop.
Yeah.
It was funny. I've heard of Killer Mike.
He's from Run the Jewels. He's not bad. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he deserved Album of the Year. He got arrested like right after.
Yeah,
he got arrested while he was there.
That's hilarious.
Because someone said he pushed. He pushed like one of the ushers or something like that.
They already wanted him for something. Yeah.
Ken Carson. Have you any of you guys listened?
I've heard Kid Carson. If you're a Vancouverite, you know
that. Classic. But Ken Carson, he has a very similar sound to Yeet.
Sure.
He's affiliated with the Opium brand, which is Playboi Carti's label. I know that's crazy. It's literally a drug.
Well, it's about drugs.
Yeah. But that album or that collective, that group of artists, you know, Playboi Carti, Ken Carson, Destroy Lonely, feel like they're really pushing the sound right now and what's popular as well as Yeet. Kind of Rage is all the rage right now.
Sure.
No. At least when it comes to young people. And there are also a lot of newer artists that are still pretty exciting. Lil Tecca came out with a really good album last year as well. Central C, I've been listening to a lot of UK hip hop recently. I know Central C is like the very surface, but I've been listening to people like Nux as well.
Goldie Looking Chain.
Who's that?
Goldie Looking Chain is from Wales.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of that.
It's not. It's.
I guess Jamie hasn't either.
It's weird. You should listen to Goldie Looking Chain. It's pretty good.
But I was listening to the new MGMT album.
Oh yeah. I listened to it the other day.
I didn't like it.
No,
it's not for me. They've changed sound again. So like every album seems to be a new song or sound. This one's very like indie.
The reviews are good on it.
Indie rock, indie folk rock. Yeah. It's very odd. But I was very disappointed because I really liked Little Dark Age.
Sure.
I really liked the original album. Yeah.
And Loss of Life is not for me.
I thought it was aggressively okay.
Otherwise, I went back and listened to Quest for Fire by Skrillex because I think that's one of the best albums of 2023. After listening to Disclosure, I was like, which one is better? Those two albums? I really like the Skrillex album.
I had no idea Skrillex was still making music.
He released two albums from in 2023. As well as Portamento by The Drums, another good album. I'm sure I will try to get a hold of that so we can talk about it, because The Drums, killing it. I mean, that album's from 2011, but great, great album. Ploof, listen to anything?
Actually, we were talking about The Offspring after last week, and I went back and listened to Americana again, and I gotta say, there's only like a few really good songs in Americana.
Yeah. That's why I'm not picking it.
Right? Okay, that makes a lot. Like, don't get me wrong. It was huge because of, like...
Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Yeah, and, like...
Why don't you get a job, man?
There's one or two other tracks that are, like, really good, but...
That song doesn't track, and they don't play it in concert anymore.
Yeah, right? So, I don't know.
It's heavily misogynistic.
I forgot how much I like Offspring as, like, a greatest hits band. Like, a few songs from each album.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Although, there are hits on certain albums that hit harder than
that
weren't released as singles. I would agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. They're a greatest hits band. And especially with their last like four albums, there's only been like two good songs on all of them.
How recent are those albums? They're still making albums?
When did Rise and Fall, Rage and Grace come out? Like,
I don't know.
2010?
I never even listened to it.
And then there was another one like 4 years ago, maybe.
What?
Came out in 2021.
They should stop.
Let the bad times roll. Yeah, edgy.
Remember when I asked you if you wanted to go see it a couple of years ago?
Yeah, but I thought they were going to...
the show. That was the Let the Bad Times Roll tour.
I thought they were going to play like older stuff.
Well, they did. They played. It was mostly a greatest hits tour. But they were also promoting like the one or two songs.
Right.
If you said, Jamie, what are the hits from that album? I have no idea. I've never listened to it. But yeah, have you been listening to anything else?
I've been listening to Pigeons Playing Ping Pong again.
What is that?
They're like a weird disco funk kind of album. It's hard or band. I have one of their albums, Pizzazz. I don't know. Maybe I'll pick it sometime. But they're like, I don't know. The genre on Discogs says rock, funk, soul, and then style says funk, alternative rock, psychedelic rock. I guess so. I'll pick them at some point.
Sure.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I mean.
It's cool. They got pigeons on their album covers.
No way. Say less.
Yeah. Pigeons playing ping pong. It's great.
Otherwise, man, I bought the Recontre Lolo, Lulu.
Yeah, you've Chocolat.
It's I've just been listening to that. It's man. So good. It lives in my record player. It really is such a good yeah. album.
I was entranced.
That was a an album we listened to two episodes ago.
Four would have been our last topic.
Wow!
But sure. It's a French band from Quebec, and don't know any of the words. Don't speak quite enough French, but it's like psychedelic rock, and man, it was blew my mind.
That was one of the few albums that we've all agreed upon.
Speaking of psychedelic rock, have you listened to Lil Yachty's latest album?
No. Oh, I think so.
Let's What's start it called? Here.
Yes.
No, that's very interesting.
It is really good.
I've never seen a rapper make such a departure like that.
2023 is a good year for music for that. That was
interesting.
Really good album. It's got weird AI faces on it.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Cool.
It's very weird.
I will listen to that. That's interesting to me.
A very Tame Impala, inspired.
Oh, okay, well, say less, because
Jamie loves Tame Impala.
Tame Impala is incredible to me, and their last album was okay.
So. That's exactly how I feel about Yeet and this album. Great artist, okay album.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It happens.
I've been listening to a couple of albums. I have on the record player, or I had on the record player earlier, I had the Supertramp's Breakfast in America album. That's a great album.
It's got a good album cover.
It does. It does have a good album cover. And I may try and do this thing where we reapproach a band we've already covered, because we haven't done that yet, except for the times we have. Except, well, it was just Aesop Rock.
But that was enough.
That was for a topic. And
that was enough.
To be fair, it was the same artist, but a different band.
Fair enough, yeah.
There's infinite records out there. We're two seasons in, and we've already had a repeat artist.
It was only because of a topic.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I don't know. May cover it one day, because you made a remark, I believe, a while ago that you had not listened to another David Bowie album since you listened to that one, and you also said that when on the Supertramp one, you said, "I don't want to listen to another one because I don't want to be spoiled because I enjoyed this one."
What artist did we just cover that I was like, "This just happened"? It was Tame Impala. Where I was I don't want to listen to more songs by a band because I'm nervous it'll ruin the band for me.
Yeah.
And we listened to Currents, and I was like, I don't like Tame Impala anymore. It was too much Tame Impala.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll happen to Supertramp. He'll play it, and I'll be like, well, what was it, Crime of the Century?
Yeah.
I'll be like, it's not good anymore.
You'll kill it.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, because, like, Arthur, one of the things that we struggle with is what does Bell like about music? Because we don't know.
Yeah, you like a lot of music, huh?
I'm an enigma.
But we don't know what he likes.
I also
about.
Dislike a lot of music.
Yeah. Yeah, he dislikes a lot and likes a lot. So it's very hard.
And he's very contrary in what he likes. He'll like something about an album, and then I'll pick another album. I'm like, it has the same elements as the previous album. And you're like, nope.
No, I don't like
it. I didn't like that.
Yeah, sometimes it sounds too much like farts. On a certain album, I totally get you.
David Bowie being the top album last year. Crazy when so many other classic rock or people from that era were like the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was interesting. Yeah. We talk a lot about how we don't like Ploof's picks, but apparently last year mine were the least.
Yeah. I like looked at my list and I was like, actually, Ploof's are all around like the middle mark. Jamie's had some.
Yeah, but mine were all outliers. It was like really good or really bad.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like mine were like, because it's usually like, this is garbage and I hated it completely. Or it's like, yeah, this is not bad.
Wow.
Well.
After 3 inches of blood.
Oh, sure.
You're back.
To be fair, I knew that was going to be one that you guys didn't like. I picked that because I just like, I bought it. It was a 1,000-run copy. And I was like, yeah.
Chinese Fountain was.
That's fine.
Yeah. It was aggressively fine.
It wasn't aggressively
I thought you guys
fine.
Hated Chinese Fountain. I thought you guys hated the Growlers. No,
it was so middle of the road that I can't remember anything about that one. I think the tagline was like, we're all beach goths. I don't even know what that means anymore.
Beach goths.
I'll pick a real beach goths album. And then you'll be...
Any final thoughts, anybody?
Nah.
Arthur, thanks for coming on. It's always fun having a guest on. And,
Party time. Bear Creek Eats. Hella Fresh. Code Happy Bear.
What? Hello Bear.
Hello Bear.
Use it. I need that AP plus, or that rolly. No big or no small rolly. No small I need rolly. A big rolly.
Plus, guess what? You use that code, you also get money off your food. Groceries are expensive. I'm going home. I'm using it right now.
My food already arrived.
Yeah, Jamie already used it. That's how you know it works.
Have you cooked anything with it?
Yeah, I did the pork chops yesterday.
Oh, nice.
On Monday. Pretty good. It was pretty good. It, like,
that's the best thing I've ever heard Jamie say. It's pretty good. He's never
I've said this before. Like, the problem I have when I come home is that, like, I don't know what to make for dinner, so sometimes I just don't eat. So now that I have all this food in front of me, and it's like, here, just make it. It'll only take you 20 minutes. I'm like, sure, I'll do it. It'll only take me 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And that could be you with code HelloBear.
Yeah. 50% off your first box.
Or maybe 55.
I think it was 55, and 55. I got a free breakfast item for life.
Yeah, that's true.
Free
yeah.
breakfast item for life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like eat. Life.
Life. I eat. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We're not sponsored by HelloFresh. Artie is.
not one video is. I'm not really sponsored by HelloFresh.
If you want to see that video, go to
Bear Creek Eats. But he is sponsored by Taco Time.
TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. He's there. Bye.
Bye. See you.